This is Day to Day from NPR News. I'm Alex Cohen.
I'm Madeline Brand. When can you, as a patient, say no to treatment your doctor says helps you? Well, a judge in Minnesota will consider that question. Ray Sanford says after lots of electroshock therapy, he's losing his memory. His doctors say the treatment helps Sanford's psychosis. Lorna Benson of member station KNOW in St. Paul has the story.
Ray Sanford has been getting electroconvulsive treatment, also known as electroshock and ECT, since the end of May. For Ray, the process works like this. Every week or two, he's taken to a hospital where a medical technician attaches electrodes to his head and delivers electrical current into his brain. The current causes a seizure. For reasons that doctors still don't quite understand, some patients with severe depression or mania get better after having ECT. But the potential benefits don't matter to Ray. He says he dreads the shocks and wants them to stop.
It's scary as hell.
Ray is 54 years old. He has a receding hairline and a salt and pepper beard. He walks with a cane and his hands shake slightly, a side effect, he says, from some of the medication he's taking. We've met up in the basement of the small group home where he lives so we can talk without disturbing his roommates. I'm warned by his legal guardians who are present for the interview that Ray gets tired easily, so this conversation may not last long. I ask him what bothers him about getting ECT. Besides being scary, he says the electroshock makes his head hurt for at least a day, and it's wrecking his memory.
One of the things that I have problems with is certain people, I can't remember their names anymore. I should be able to remember their names since I've known some of them a long time and can't quite remember their names. And don't ask me to tell you their names because I won't remember.
Ray's doctors aren't allowed to discuss his case with NPR. His guardian, Lutheran Social Services, says the courts have determined that Ray isn't competent to make decisions regarding his own welfare, so he can't give his doctors permission to discuss his private medical record. But in public court documents, his psychiatrists say they sought ECT only after all other treatments, including psychotropic drugs, failed. They wanted to pull Ray out of a particularly lengthy psychotic episode that began a year ago. His court record describes a man who was out of control for many months, urinating wherever and whenever he felt like it, smearing feces on hospital walls, and even eating it. Ray didn't want to talk about his hospitalization with NPR. But his 80-year-old mother, Marilyn, was willing to fill in a few of the details. Sitting on a cream-colored chair in her tiny retirement community apartment, Marilyn Sanford clutched a picture frame showing Ray in happier times.
I put in their baby picture and then their high school graduation picture. He didn't graduate, but I've always liked that picture of him. And he was a much beloved child.
Marilyn says her son had a very happy childhood, but by the time he turned 17, he began acting out in disturbing ways.
One of the things I remember him doing was getting this car and driving it. We lived on a hill where there was pasture land, driving it round and round our house in the late night. And then there were many very irritating things that had to do with body excrement and all kinds of things.
She says episodes like these reoccurred like clockwork every 18 months to 2 years throughout her son's adult life. The episodes have led to dozens of hospitalizations for a condition described in court records as schizoaffective disorder with bipolar tendencies. When Marilyn heard this past summer that a court had ordered involuntary ECT for her son, she thought it seemed like a reasonable option. And after a few treatments, she was convinced that it had helped.
Well, what I told him is it gave me my son back. I was able to converse with him. We were able to have a normal conversation. It was wonderful, and I thought, oh, good, this is great.
Marilyn says she assumed the ECT would stop after 3 or 4 sessions, especially since her son seemed to get better rather quickly. But after 12 sessions, the court authorized more treatments to be administered as often as every week for up to a year. Marilyn says that seemed excessive, given her son's complaints that the ECT was causing memory loss.
I don't care if he forgets the birthday of his nieces and nephews, but I do care that he can remember their names and know that they're born and remember what he did last Christmas, if it was a happy memory, remember the good times.
As the summer and fall wore on, Marilyn's son continued to get his weekly ECT treatment, all the while complaining to anyone who would listen. Then, about a month ago, Ray ramped up his anti-ECT campaign.
he's a hero for me. He like called his local library and asked for help. And I love that, you know, and they, I guess they did an internet search for mental health, human rights, and they found Mind Freedom. And so we are coming through for him.
David Oakes is director of Mind Freedom International, a coalition of grassroots groups and individuals that advocates against forced medication and involuntary electroconvulsive therapy.
Those kind of things are just so intrusive that no means no. If an individual says no, then no, they should not get those procedures.
Most of the time, ECT is given to patients who want it. Psychiatrist Carl Malmquist isn't involved in Ray's case, but the University of Minnesota professor says it is now well accepted that ECT does help some people.
If the drugs aren't doing the job, so to speak, and the patient responding, then you've tried different drugs and you've tried different dosages, then you start to think, in certain cases, that maybe you need to use ECT.
In cases like Ray's, the treatment can be forced upon the patient if doctors believe it's the only way to make them well. There are no good numbers on how many people receive forced ECT in the U.S. It's up to states to track these cases, and most don't. The advocacy group Mind Freedom launched an internet campaign on Ray's behalf, calling on the governor of Minnesota to investigate his case and put an immediate end to the ECT. The group also filed a claim with the United Nations, saying that Ray's forced ECT treatments constitute torture. The lobbying attracted the attention of the Minnesota Disability Law Center, which is now reviewing the case. Legal Director Pamela Hoop says her office has just begun its investigation, so she can't say much about the merits of the case. But she says any time someone's right to self-determination is taken away, the courts need to have a good reason.
These are very difficult issues, and I think it would be hard to argue with the proposition that voluntary treatment is always preferable to forced treatment. And the more intrusive the treatment, the higher the bar needs to be for imposing it.
Yet there's not total agreement in the legal system on how to make a decision in someone's best interest. Attorney Eric Janis is the president and dean of William Mitchell College of Law. He studied the boundaries of the state's ability to forcibly treat patients. Janis says there are different perspectives on how the state should make these decisions.
Sometimes people say, well, you should use the perspective of a reasonable person. And it is assumed that a reasonable person wants to protect him or herself against a relapse of a terrible mental illness.
In Ray's case, doctors haven't said if they're using the ECT to prevent a relapse or to continue his treatment. Still, Janis says the reasonable person test doesn't make sense to everyone, including even himself. He thinks even greater weight should be given to what the patient wants, even if it appears that their sickness might be clouding their judgment. He says competent or not, not everyone wants to be treated when they're sick.
That's really what the court should be asking is, okay, what are this person's values? What does he want? What kind of life does he want to live? And it should be trying to make the decision in his behalf.
Ray agrees.
A person should have a choice in their life what they're doing.
Ray Sanford is undergoing an exam by court-ordered psychiatrist today. Tomorrow, he will appear before a judge in St. Paul to see if his forced ECT can be stopped. For NPR News, I'm Lorna Benson in St. Paul.